So let's start out with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, when I knock on the door of a Jehovah's Witness, there are some things that I do a little bit differently. You don't have to do this, but this is just a little bit better way of doing it, and I'll explain why. You say, well, how do you know they're a Jehovah's Witness? Well, a lot of times they'll have something on the porch, a little sticker or a little decal for JW.org. I've seen that a lot. But when you ask them, do you go to church anywhere? That's kind of a good way to figure out where they're at. When you say, so are you Christian? Do you go to church anywhere? And then they'll tell you, I go to the Kingdom Hall. Well, if you hear the words Kingdom Hall, that's Jehovah's Witness, because the Jehovah's Witnesses are the only ones who use the term Kingdom Hall. Or they might just tell you, I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So if I deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses, here's the one thing I do different. Instead of asking them, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? Instead of that, I ask them, do you know for sure if you died today that you're saved and that you have eternal life? Now you say, why the change? Because if you ask them, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? Here's what they'll say. Oh, well, I'm not going to heaven because there's only 144,000 going to heaven. And then you're already on a rabbit trail. And after just so many doors of just over and over again having them say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. You know, I'm not trying to go to heaven. It's, you know, that's for the 144,000. We're going to be on this earth and blah, 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 blah. I just decided, you know, I'm sick of the conversation being derailed before it even starts. Yeah. So the way I bypass that is by saying, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? Okay. That way I can get into the gospel that I want to preach and not get off on something else. Now, with all cults in general, any kind of a cult or people who have strange beliefs, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, including the Mormons, but like I said, I haven't had a lot of success on that front, other cults, and any false religion in general, my goal is to deal with specific heresies at the end. I don't want to just start out the conversation attacking their religion, start out the conversation tearing down these heresies that they have. I want to get the gospel out there because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So I want to get the gospel out there. That's where the power is. The message that is going to pierce them and that's going to cut them to the heart is that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what everybody needs to hear. So I want to get through my whole gospel presentation before I start dealing with specific things. So that's why at the beginning of the conversation, I don't want to let them get me off on a rabbit trail. Turn to Psalm 83, you know, and they want to turn you here and turn you there and get you talking about Saturday is the day when we should be going to church, or the name of God is Jehovah, just all these different things that they want to get you talking about. I want to try to save those things for the end and get the gospel out there. Okay. Now, here's another tip for dealing with people that are very steeped in these false religions. If they take over the conversation, walk away. If they take over the conversation, walk away. If it gets to the point where they're preaching to me and they're teaching me and they're running the conversation, then at that point, I just smile and say, hey, listen, we got to get going. Have a great day. See you later. And I walk away. And you say, why is that? Well, because of the fact that I don't believe it's right. I don't even believe that the Lord wants me to sit and have some phony preach lies to me. You know, if I know they're a false prophet, I know they're a false teacher, I shouldn't just sit and listen to them. And that conversation's going nowhere when they're doing 80 to 90% of the talking. You know, if I show up at the door, I'm there to preach to them. And if they want to turn it around and preach to me, see ya, I'm out of there. I got better things to do. I didn't come to be preached to by heretics. I came to win people to Christ. I'm going down the street. I'm going to find somebody else. And I've often had these people try to follow me. Wait, I'm not done with you yet. And I'm like, bye, see you later. You know, get out of there, right? Don't waste time. Okay, so that's with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, at the end, so at the beginning, I just say, are you 100% sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? And then I roll into my normal gospel presentation. But then when I get to the end, though, if I can get them to see that salvation is by faith and that you cannot lose your salvation, if I can get them to see those two things, I can always get them to believe the Trinity. Why? Because most of your Jehovah's Witnesses that aren't going to get saved, you won't get them to see that it's all by faith, and you won't get them to see the eternal security part. You will lose them. If they're rejecting the gospel, you'll lose them on those two points. Every single person that I've ever been able to get to agree that it's by faith and agree that you cannot lose your salvation, then here's what I say to them next. I say, if I could prove to you from the Bible that Jesus is God, would you believe in it if I could prove it to you from the Bible? They'll say yes. And then I show them from the Bible, and if I already convince them that they're wrong about salvation and wrong about eternal life, they'll always, when they see it, embrace the doctrine of the Trinity, that Jesus Christ is deity, that he is co-eternal with God the Father. Because, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a created being. They believe that he is like a lesser God. That's why it says in John 1:1 in their fake Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They believe Jesus is a God, a lesser God, a created being, Michael the archangel. They do not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so just a few verses that I cover with them at the end on the divinity of Jesus Christ. I like to use 1 Timothy 3:16. I like to use Hebrews 1:8. I like to use Isaiah 9:6. And I also like to go to Mark chapter 10, where he says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. And the reason I like that one is that that's one that Jehovah's Witnesses are actually taught to use to say that he's not God. So sometimes I even pull that one out first. I say, well, here, let me prove to you that Jesus is God. And I'll whip open my Bible, and I'll take them there, you know, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. And they say, well, exactly. Yeah, you know. And I say, well, let me ask you, is Jesus good? Well, of course. Well, why are you calling him good? There's none good but one, and that's God. So you have either of two choices. Either he's God or he's not good. Are you going to sit here and tell me that Jesus isn't good? I mean, come on. So, you know, that's a pretty powerful one. And then obviously Hebrews 1:8 is crystal clear. 1 Timothy 3:16, Isaiah 9:6. And there are all manner of places you could take them. You know, I like the scripture in Hebrews chapter 3, where it talks about how this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God. God's the creator, and Jesus Christ is unto Moses as the builder of the house is to the house itself. Jesus is God. He's called God in Hebrews chapter 3. So, I mean, there are a lot of places. The one place that I don't take them is I don't take them to 1 John 5:7, and I don't take them to John chapter 1. And the reason why I don't take them to those two places is because those two places are what they're indoctrinated to be able to counter. You know, they've heard their whole life, oh, yeah, people are going to try to tell you that Jesus is God. They're going to take you to John 1 and 1 John 5:7. And so they're already kind of inoculated against those verses. So by using verses other than those, you're hitting them with something fresh. You're hitting them with something new. But like I said, if you can already get them to reject the Watchtower's teaching on salvation by works, you know, getting them to see the divinity of Jesus Christ is an easy victory at the end of that conversation. And I've successfully led several Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord. I've even had some of them baptized. And so, you know, this has been a successful method in dealing with them. And also, when you're dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, make sure that you emphasize the bodily resurrection of Jesus, because they've been taught a fake resurrection, quote unquote, about how Jesus' spirit simply left his body. So what I do is, just while I'm presenting the gospel, when I get on the point of the resurrection, I really make a point about how he showed them the holes in his hands and side, and that he was physically, bodily there. He ate and drank with them. And if they balk at that, I just take them to Luke 24 and show them that. Okay? So these are some tips for dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses. And again, don't let this intimidate.